Good evening. Who's the turkey? Trump pardons bread and butter and takes a swipe at Democrats. A gay former Marine on Trump and war crimes and the end of bail in New York. With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the WBAI News for Tuesday, November 26th, 2019. The House Judiciary Committee has invited President Donald Trump or his counsel to participate in the panel's first impeachment hearing next week as the House moves another step closer to impeaching the president. The committee announced that it would hold a hearing December 4th on the constitutional grounds for presidential impeachment with a panel of experts witnesses testifying. The Judiciary Committee hearing is the latest sign that House Democrats are moving forward with impeachment proceedings against the president following allegations Trump pushed Ukraine to investigate his political rivals while withholding $400 million in security aid to Kyiv. And Washington Senator Ron Wyden says he's examining the possible hacking of U.S. citizens with malware produced by Israeli surveillance company NSO Group. The investigation comes in the wake of a lawsuit brought by WhatsApp, the popular social networking tool. The suit alleges the Israeli company is responsible for highly sophisticated cyber attacks that violated American law in an unmistakable pattern of abuse. The targets of the attacks that happened last spring included leading human rights defenders and lawyers, prominent religious figures, well-known journalists, and officials in humanitarian organizations. The suit was filed in a California court. Wyden, who is the highest-ranking Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee, expressed concerns about what he called mercenary contractors spying on Americans. And a United States District Judge has ordered Donald Trump's former White House counsel, Don McGahn, to comply with a subpoena issued by House Democrats, originally in response to the Mueller report, that could see him testify to the impeachment inquiry. In her ruling, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson asserted that presidents are not kings and ruled that McGahn must appear before Congress. Reportedly, Trump pressured McGahn to deny he wanted to fire special counsel Robert Mueller. Meanwhile, First Lady Melania Trump was met with a chorus of boos from a crowd of young people at an opioid awareness event in Baltimore, hours before she joined the president outside the White House for the president's annual turkey pardoning ahead of Thanksgiving.
Hello, everyone. Thank you to DEA 360 and the Mark Wahlberg Youth Foundation for creating events like this all over the country. I hope that the knowledge you gain here will help you tackle the tough decisions you may face with so that you can live a healthy and drug-free life.
Trump used the turkey pardoning to take swipes at congressional Democrats, Adam Schiff, and members of the press.
Well, thank you very much. Please. Thankfully, bread and butter have been specially raised by the Jacksons to remain calm under any condition, which will be very important because they've already received subpoenas to appear in Adam Schiff's basement on Thursday. Hundreds of people have. It seems the Democrats are accusing me of being too soft on turkey. But bread and butter, I should note that unlike previous witnesses, you and I have actually met. It's very unusual. Very unusual. In any event, I expect this pardon will be a very popular one with the media. After all, turkeys are closely related to vultures. I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it. But today, after the birds will retire to gobbler's rest at Virginia Tech, great college, where they will be cared for and enjoy a terrific life.
In other news, Trump has appointed his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to oversee the construction of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. That as the furor over his decision to absolve Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher of war crimes continues. The dispute over whether to rescind Gallagher's trident pin, symbol of his SEAL status, despite his conviction for war crimes, has divided veterans and soldiers. A former Marine who was raised in Alabama and currently lives in Louisiana is Jeff Key. He left the service after announcing he was gay on CNN in 2014. He says Trump's decision put soldiers in danger.
What Donald Trump is doing is he is lowering us to the level of our enemies. And there are many of us in the military that take great umbrage with that. It's awful. It means that some future action taken on an American service member will be based on his cavalier, shoot-from-the-hip, ego-based, supposed position as the commander-in-chief. But, like, how many career-long, obviously committed, patriotic, and brilliant military people have to be ridiculed or fired by Donald Trump for the last of those they run on? We support the troops. How many does he have? I mean, just listen to what General Mattis says about him. Listen to the way people talk about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. What level of courage must that? I don't have a family. I don't have a wife and kids or husband and kids kind of family. Imagine the level of courage that it took for him to do what he knows in his heart is right, and then to suffer the slings and arrows of his countrymen, and in some case, fellow military people. Yeah, it's unacceptable. But my short answer to your question is that it's unacceptable that a man who sent a poor person to die in his place in Vietnam, to me, gets to send a platoon of troops across the street. He's a coward. He's a coward.
Jeff Key is also a member of the anti-war veterans group Common Defense. Last week, he had a brief run-in with South Carolina GOP Senator Lindsey Graham, a supporter of Trump. Key has been calling for Trump to be impeached.
I live in Louisiana, lots of friends in South Carolina. I see how you're berated in the press, and I honestly believe that you believe in our democracy as I do.
I do.
I came to D.C. because I'm a Marine, I went to Iraq. And I believe, as I believe that you do, that President Trump is not acting in accordance to his oath. You took an idea to defend the Constitution. You took an oath.
Yeah, I did.
You have. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Key says he believes Senator Graham knows Trump is wrong for America, but Key adds Trump may have something on the senator preventing him from speaking out.
Lindsey Graham took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, as did I, as did Donald Trump. And so I just wanted to press him on, does he actually think that Donald Trump is doing that? Because I happen to know that he does not think that Donald Trump is doing that. I grew up gay in Alabama. I got installed gaydar for our own survival. I'm not saying Senator Graham is gay. There's been a lot of speculation about that, actually. But, I think he's got a wife or whatever. Well, we know how that goes in the South, don't we? But beside the point, sort of, you learn, and I think part of what I learned when I was in Iraq, I've been interviewed a bit after I got home about don't ask, don't tell, so I got to think about that a lot. One thing that, I'm 54 years old, I grew up gay in Alabama, and you start to learn to, in some ways, it prepares you very much for military service. You have to scope out who your Confederates are, your friendlies, your adversaries, and who they are allied with, all at an age way too young for all that. So, but it does hone those skills. And when I stood close enough to Lindsey Graham, I could smell the fear. But if you look at his posture, he's bent over and beat down, and that is because they have something on him. They have something on him. And they, in some ways, they've gotten exactly what they wanted. They wanted the Trump presidency because we all have decent-minded friends that would never let their teenage daughter be around someone who advocated for grabbing young women by the vagina, There are a lot of people, the great swath of, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, there are a lot of people that base their votes and their political leanings on what they see out there, and I think in general they've gotten the businessman in office that they wanted. They'd say, but he's a good businessman. I hear what he's a good businessman, so he's running it just like he's run his businesses. Shady, based on black ops information. It's just in keeping with the same. So when it comes down to, from a little country boy that was said, raised in the Church of Christ with my dad as a deacon, I got to sit in that pew at least three times a week and hear about what we were not supposed to be. And so wildly confused by people like Mitt Romney, who's like famous for his faith, to be in line here. There's some kind of network of nepotism that says, and Romney's been outspoken against Trump, as has Graham. Graham McCain's daughter is Graham's goddaughter. The family network, the business network that is inside in the back of the current support of Donald Trump to this extent that it still exists is just based on the way that game plays. To me, that's not a good enough answer, given that those institutions float on the sea of the blood of service members who died to make this Democratic Republic free.
Key says he joined the Marines a year before 9/11 when he was 34. He describes what led an out-of-the-closet gay person from the ultra-conservative state of Alabama to join the military.
I wanted to do it, and I wanted to do it for a short list of good reasons. I want to support and defend this Constitution. I want to stand up for the defenseless people. I love my country. I did. Showed up at boot camp, and I became a Marine 1 year before 9/11. I think a year, a month, and a day before 9/11. 2003, I deployed to Iraq. I was never in a firefight. There was gunfire at my post, but rules of engagement at that time were you couldn't return fire unless you saw the weapon, and I didn't. Compared to most of the hell that most people that deployed over there experienced, it was a cakewalk for me. 2 months, 3 days in, I was medevaced out because I ripped my abs open from an umbilical hernia from my belly button upwards, about an inch and a half, 2 inch little slit with my gut starting to stick out there. And the doc said, you need to get this fixed. You can do it in Germany or in California. I said, I'll pick California. And by the time I landed in California, they were redeploying my unit back to the States. In the meantime, my growing crisis of conscience led me to decide that if I was going to be true to my oath, I'd have to leave the Marine Corps to do it. And I came out of a closet in an interview on CNN in March 2004, I think that was. And they started the long process of discharging me under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So I was then able to speak more freely about my convictions about the war in Iraq and about that policy.
Jeff Key is a Marine veteran who served in Iraq. He left the Marines in 2014 after announcing he was gay on television. In an interview aired Sunday on Fox News, Energy Secretary Rick Perry said that President Trump is the chosen one, echoing a similar claim made by Trump himself. The chosen one is a religious determination related to Old Testament beliefs of the coming of a Messiah, particularly in the Jewish religion. For the most part, Christians believe that Jesus Christ was the predicted coming of God as man on earth. Perry, whose department deals with the United States nuclear weapons arsenal, is one of numerous white evangelical Christians in the Trump administration.
God's used imperfect people all through history. King David wasn't perfect. Saul wasn't perfect. Solomon wasn't perfect. And I actually gave the president a little one-pager on those Old Testament kings about a month ago. And I shared it with him. I said, Mr. President, I know there are people that say, you know, you said you were the chosen one. And I said, you were. I said, if you're a believing Christian, you understand God's plan for the people who rule and judge over us on this planet in our government.
The editor of the Jewish political and theological journal Tikkun is Rabbi Michael Lerner. He says Perry's claim that Trump is a Messiah is more than troubling.
I think it's terribly misguided and a distortion of religion and a misrepresentation of the biblical tradition and really an outrage.
What does the chosen one refer to religiously?
It means that in Jewish history, chosenness means that God helped us understand a call to act in a loving, caring, just, and kind way towards other human beings, and that we celebrate that ability to understand God's call to us and through us to other, or to all peoples on the planet, a call for a more ethical, a more ecologically sensitive, a more caring way of being in the world. So when somebody then claims chosenness to justify policies that are exactly the opposite of the message that God of the universe has revealed to not just to Jews, but to all people on the planet, the obligation to care for each other, love each other, love your neighbor. And the most frequently repeated command of the Torah, which is versions of the following. When you come into your land, do not oppress the other. Remember that you were the other in the land of Egypt. In other words, when people then take chosenness and use it to justify oppression, and by the way, I hold that in regard to Israel just as much as I hold it in regard to the United States, they are distorting the fundamental message that God has put into the world, which is to build a world of justice and love and kindness and caring for each other and caring for the earth.
Do you think it's dangerous for Trump and for others in his administration to appropriate what's in a lot of ways a Jewish tradition of a Messiah that is still coming and saying that he is the person who just came and what that implies?
Of course it's dangerous. It's dangerous because the man is a megalomaniac as well as extremely perverted human being. But it's not only dangerous, it's a wild misappropriation, and really it leads people to feel that everything about religion must be distorted if it can be used in that way. So it's dangerous for those of us who are religious to see that discourse being used to justify domination, oppression, militarism, misuse of the planet for the sake of individuals maximizing their money at the expense of destroying the future of our planet. Using that language, calling oneself a Messiah or potentially a Messiah or chosen by God, is a sure way to discredit religion on the one hand, and on the other hand, to really be in open rebellion against God's message to the human race.
And that is Rabbi Michael Lerner, the editor of the Jewish political and theological journal Tikkun. Other evangelicals in the White House include Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Vice President Mike Pence. Many of these religious zealots have a belief that Christ will return and destroy sinners and establish a theocracy on earth. And you're listening to the news, to the WBAI News. I'm Paul DiRienzo. In April of 2019, New York State passed historic pretrial legislation overhauling the deeply unjust bail, discovery, and speedy trial systems of the state. Westchester County residents and New Yorkers across the state demanded and then celebrated this legislation to end mass pretrial incarceration and criminalization of black and brown communities. In Westchester County, for example, in 2018, over 1,000 people languished in jail each night. Over 65% were pretrial. They had not been convicted but were behind bars because they could not afford bail. This system, they say, violated the presumption of innocence, criminalized low-income people, and led to the coercion of plea deals. It also wreaked havoc on the lives of tens of thousands of people each year. Imagine, they say, not being able to afford bail. It doesn't take very long, a day, maybe a week, to lose your job or your home. Not much longer to lose your health care, access to education, or custody of your children. Kathy Schaefer is a member of the coalition that won the measure passed in Albany. It takes effect on January 1st. She had this to say.
In April, Albany passed bail reform and discovery reform that communities across New York State have been fighting for many years. Across New York State, there are 16,000 people incarcerated pretrial. They have not been convicted of anything, but are there overwhelmingly because they cannot afford bail. This is a system that on the most basic level violates the presumption of innocence. It treats people as guilty until they can prove their innocence rather than as innocent until proven guilty. It's also a system that criminalizes low-income people. If you can afford bail, you pay it and go home. If you cannot afford bail, then you are subject to pretrial incarceration. That pretrial incarceration, whether it's for a day or a week or a month or a year or more, is enough time to lose your job, to lose your home, potentially lose custody of your children. And so that's the place that New York State was in. Exacerbating this system of pretrial jailing with some of the worst discovery laws in the country, which meant that prosecutors in New York State could withhold evidence until nearly trial, until a few days before trial. They did not have to turn over any evidence until the eve of trial, and they did not have to turn over any evidence before offering a plea deal. And so this meant that people were put in a position of making potentially decisions with potentially lifelong consequences without even the basic facts of the case, like the police report.
Why did it take so long, and what happened to make this bill pass?
So it took so long because the entrenched systems are hard to change. It also took a long time because prosecutors across the state have opposed change. And they oppose change because the current discovery and bail laws give them a tremendous amount of power. They allow prosecutors to coerce plea deals. If you can imagine somebody sitting in jail on bail they cannot afford, with a prosecutor withholding all of the information in the case, and somebody is desperate to go home to their children and their job and their family, and a prosecutor comes to them after a couple of weeks or a couple of months and says, here, take this plea deal, and you can go home tomorrow. You can imagine the tremendous pressure people experience to take that plea deal and then end up both with the consequences of having sat in jail for weeks or months and with the conviction that comes from that. And so the legislature...
What changed? What changed?
There were a number of incredibly powerful grassroots campaigns that brought together New Yorkers across the, including the Westchester Children's Association, the New York Civil Liberties Union, Westchester Change, Westpac. So these really diverse coalitions of faith leaders and community groups who are fighting to change these laws. And it is the power of that momentum and of people naming and working for the systemic change.
When does this take place? When does it take effect?
So the legislation goes into effect on January 1st. So this is something that the communities and the organizations who fought so hard for this legislation are celebrating, that in just over a month, the legislation will go into effect.
Kathy Schaefer is a member of Brooklyn Community Bail Fund. And finally, health officials said Tuesday they have more evidence that a certain chemical compound is a culprit in a national outbreak of vaping illnesses. Researchers analyzed black market vaping cartridges seized in Minnesota during the outbreak this year and vaping liquid seized in that state last year. The newer cartridges contained the compound vitamin E acetate, but none of the older samples did. They also looked at vaping cartridges collected from a dozen patients. Vitamin E acetate was commonly found in those too. The study was small, but it echoes other work that found the compound in the damaged lungs of 29 patients across the country. Dr. Ruth Linfield, a Minnesota health official, said the finding further support a potential role for vitamin E acetate in causing lung injury associated with vaping products. Nearly 2,300 Americans who vape have gotten sick since March, many of them teens and young adults. According to a recent tally by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, at least 47 people have died. Most who got sick said they had vaped liquids that contain THC, the high-inducing part of marijuana. Vitamin E acetate has recently been used as a thickener in illicit vaping products that contain THC. And that's some of the news for Tuesday, November 26th, 2019. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. From the studios of the listener-sponsored, locally produced, independent WBAI News, I'm Paul DiRienzo.